Good afternoon, everyone. I'll share a brief thought on the Parsha. One of the ways to look at the Sefer of Bamidbar is to notice that the first half of the Sefer kind of parallels the second half. In other words, the first Parsha parallels the last Parsha. The second one parallels the penultimate one, and so on and so forth. So this week's Parsha, Parshas Pinchas, parallels in several ways the Parsha of Behaloscha. So one such parallel is that both Parshios have an instance where people asked a halachic question to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he wasn't familiar with the halacha, or he forgot the halacha, and he needed to ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So in Parshas Behaloscha, we have the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, that people were tamei, they weren't able to bring the Karban Pesach, and they asked Hashem what to do. And in this week, we have the story of the Benos Tzlavchad, that they did not have any male siblings in terms of inheriting the land of Israel. And so they came and asked Moshe Rabbeinu that they shouldn't lose out, and that they should also get part of the Yerusha, part of the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. And in both instances, Hashem responds by revealing a new section of the Torah. There is, however, one distinction between the Benos Tzlavchad and the story of the people in during Pesach Sheni, and that is in the nature of Hashem's response. So in this week's Parsha, Hashem responds, Kain Benos Tzlavchad Dovros, that loosely translated, it means that the Benos Tzlavchad spoke properly. In other words, their request was a valid one, was a correct one. And even though Hashem kind of listened to the Taina, to the request of the people by Pesach Sheni, we don't have that phrase that Hashem responded Kain, that they spoke properly, or that they spoke correctly. So perhaps one explanation is that unlike the people by Pesach Sheni, where they did not really have a halachic basis for asking, they just felt bad that they didn't want to lose out. Over here, the Gemara records how the Benos Tzlavchad did have this, they created this legal argument that they presented to Moshe Rabbeinu of different ways to address the scenario, and Hashem responded that they spoke correctly. However, another, not mutually exclusive, but a deeper way to look at that is in the nature of their request. By the people by Pesach Sheni, they asked, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? In other words, why should we lose out on the opportunity to bring the Karban Pesach? As opposed to over here, where the Benos Tzlavchad, they also say, why should we lose out? However, they say it in a different way. They say, Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachto. Why should the name of our father, our father's legacy, be lost? Essentially, not why should we lose out, but why should our father's legacy, i.e. us, be lost out? And in that sense, Hashem responded that in both cases, they were right. But by the Benos Tzlavchad, they weren't asking purely for themselves. They recognized that they were part of a larger maracha. They realized that they were part of something larger than themselves. And when they asked about themselves, they were really asking for something larger, for their family, for Eretz Yisrael. And if you take a look at various other points in this week's parsha, you'll see that this theme of family and thinking kind of and seeing yourself as something larger than just who you are, but as part of something much broader, you'll see that that comes up again and again. Just one or two short examples at the beginning of this week's parsha. We have, just like in Behaloscha, where a Kohen gets singled out by Hashem saying, I'll give you something extra. By Behaloscha, Aaron got the lighting of the candles. Over here we have Pinchas becoming a Kohen and getting a bris of kahuna and a bris of shalom. However, unlike by Aaron, where even though his descendants ultimately also lit the menorah, over here Hashem is quite explicit that it impacts not only him, but it impacts his zaro as well. It impacts his children as well. Another example is by the counting of the Jewish people. Unlike by the first counting, where the Jewish people are just counted, over here, there seems to be an extra hadgasha, there seems to be an extra emphasis on the Jewish family, where we have the letters He and Yud kind of bookending the name of each family in the Jewish people. And Rashi famously explains that Hashem was testifying to the integrity and the kedusha of each Jewish family. And then finally... the parsha ends off with the parsha of the Musaf that we read on every Rosh Chodesh, that we read on Yontif sometimes. And it talks about the various Karban Musafs that we bring throughout the year. And one can ask, but what does this have to do with the rest of this parsha? And so the Medrash Rabbah there explains that this follows Moshe Rabbeinu's request to have a new leader for the Jewish people. And Hashem said, well, you know, if you care so much about the Jewish people, you shouldn't only ask about stuff for them. You should be concerned about my covet, about how the Jewish people will treat me. And so before you start asking for a leader, you should also bring karbanos, you should bring a karban musaf. And so the question that we have to ask is, well, what does one have to do with the other? Okay, we should do mitzvahs and give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but why specifically the karban? And so Rav Soloveitchik says that there are different parshios that talk about the Yom Tov. We have one in Parshas Emor, we have another one in Parshas Pinchas, and we have another one in Parshas Re'eh. And each of those talk about different characteristics of Yom Tov. Parshas Emor talks about the Kiddushas Hayom, it talks about the sanctity of the day and the special mitzvahs that we do on that day. Parshas Re'eh talks about the chiv of simcha, of being happy and of being ole l'regel, visiting Yerushalayim. And then Parshas Pinchas talks specifically about the Karban Musaf. And each of those parshas address a different facet that has different ramifications. So, for example, the Parsha of Simcha, there's a difference between Shmini Atzeres and other Yom Tovim. Rav Soloveitchik says that the Simcha of Shmini Atzeres is connected to the rest of Sukkot, and therefore it's almost omitted from Parshas Re'eh. And so when it comes to the Karban Musaf, there's also something unique about it in the sense that that is the one section that does not talk about the mitzvah of Yachid, but it talks about the mitzvah of the Rabbim, that there is a chiyuv of the Rabbim to bring a Karban on Yom Tov. The Gemara in Tainus famously talks about the institution of Ma'amados, that the Karbanos were brought as a representative of all of the Jewish people. So how is it possible that all of the Jewish people can be there when the Karban is shechted? And so the answer is that it wasn't, but rather they had a representative, they had a delegation of every component of the Jewish people that was present at all times. And so once again, we have this theme that there is an obligation of every single person to bring a Karban on Yom Tov. But as a Karban Sibur, we see ourselves not as just individuals, but as part of something larger. And that's something very important that we should keep in mind during the 3 weeks when we reflect on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash in our lives. It's not just how it impacts us as individuals, but rather when we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, it's not only as individuals, but rather because we see ourselves as part of something larger, as part of Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful day.